Suddenly, an exodus across Russia's borders. Social media now filled with images like these near the country's southern frontiers of vehicles backed up out of sight. Everyone is on the run from Russia, the male voice says. Endless cars, it's mind-boggling. In the west, towards Finland, border officials also reporting significantly higher traffic. Nearly 5,000 crossing in a single day, and more expected by the weekend, as Russians make for the exits. Across Russia, there's a growing sense of alarm, even anger, at the call-up of reservists to fight in Ukraine. More than 1,300 protesters have already been detained, many of them women, terrified their husbands and sons will be killed. But the mobilization is taking place regardless. Images of reservists like these boarding a military transporter in the Russian Far East show how many are heeding the call to arms. At assembly points, families are saying emotional goodbyes before their men, some apparently in middle age, are bussed away. As what was always cast as a limited special military operation feels more and more like a full-blown war.
Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. In this episode, I want to provide you with an update on what's happening right now in Russia with regards to the recent mobilization that was announced by President Putin. So if you've been following the channel, you'll know that I recently posted a report talking about President Putin's mobilization of 300,000 reservists. But it seems that the partial mobilization of reservists is actually turning into a full conscription of eligible men. So in today's episode, we'll talk about the hidden paragraph 7 that was in President Putin's recent decree, which actually gives a specific number as to how many men Russia is looking to recruit. And I can tell you that it's significantly more than 300,000. We'll have a look at the reaction to the news of the mobilization within Russia. There's been a lot of protests. There's also been a mass exodus. So men of an eligible age are trying to get flights. They're getting in their cars to leave the country. So it's not gone down well. This is being badly received. And it may not surprise you that the Russian authorities are taking quite a heavy-handed approach to this. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summaries to what I think the implications of this response from the Russian public are in terms of the war and what's likely to happen over the course of the next 3 to 6 months in terms of the war in Ukraine and what the impact will be of that on the global economy. So before we get started on all of that, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video, if you're enjoying the content, please subscribe if you haven't done so already. I'm on that push for 200,000 subscribers. So if you could help, that would be fantastic. Don't forget, I always include chapters in these videos. So if you haven't got time to watch the whole video, you can skip through things. If you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below where you'll find links to YouTube Super Thanks and membership, as well as Buy Me a Coffee, Patreon and Amazon purchasing links. As I'm sure you're aware by now, what's been deemed by Russia to be a special military operation in Ukraine has not gone to plan. The resistance that Russia has faced from Ukraine has been much greater than anticipated, and Russia have encountered significant losses of personnel and equipment. In a recent update, Russia stated that they'd lost around 6,000 men officially. However, the unofficial estimates of the losses range from 30,000 to 50,000 men. So a really significant number of Russians have lost their life in this war so far. Over recent weeks, Ukraine have been making significant progress and they've reclaimed around 6,000 square kilometres of land. So the Russians have been pushed back, they've been forced to retreat in certain areas and abandon tanks and other equipment. And there was a big question mark as to whether or not Russia was going to lose this war. And in direct response to that, President Putin came out and issued a decree allowing him to mobilize more forces, to bring in more reserves, to go to the front line and fight in Ukraine. And it was reported that the number of personnel that he was looking to mobilize was 300,000 and that all of those personnel would be reservists. So these are people who've previously served in the military or signed up to be part of the reserve corps, and they'd be ready to go to fight. So you'd be able to train those people really quickly, put them out into the front line and carry on as normal. However, there's been a recent leak directly from the Kremlin which shows that the decree that was issued by President Putin has a secret paragraph 7 that was not released. And paragraph 7 of this decree shows that Russia is allowed to recruit up to 1 million additional men to go to the fight in Ukraine. And there are widespread reports coming out of Russia that many of the people who are being drafted have no military experience whatsoever. So this mobilization is now starting to look like a full conscription. Now let's have a look at a short video which shows a 32-year-old Russian man with no military experience, no military background, showing his conscription paper, being called up to go to Ukraine and fight.
Вчера я получил повестку, согласно которой я должен явиться для сверки документов воинского учета сегодня, 22 сентября 2022 года. После того, как я пришел, мне выдали повестку, по которой сегодня же я должен отправиться в 15.00 в направку войска. Пожалуйста.
Что планируете делать?
Поеду, что делать. 15.00 и уголовное дело.
Есть дети в семье?
Нет, детей нет. У меня жена, ипотека, мне 32 года. Как обычный гражданин, пришел просто с повесткой сверки документов воинского учета и в один день не звонил.
So the mobilization that President Putin has called has now taken an entirely different shape. It looks like Russians are being taken off the street, being taken out of their family lives, out of their daily existence, to go and fight in Ukraine. And that will change the perspective of this conflict entirely within Russia. Russia has been portraying itself until now as liberating the people of Ukraine, freeing them from an oppressive state. However, the first mass mobilization since World War II tells the people of Russia, firstly, that this conflict is not going well because they need more men. So obviously, they've been losing people on the front line. And the 6,000 that have been reported is obviously a lot less than they've actually lost. And secondly, it sends a message to the citizens of Russia that they're actually at war. This is the first time since World War II that people are being drafted in from the streets. And World War II was obviously a massive global conflict. So this has sent shockwaves all through Russia. And the response to this has been really negative. We're seeing protests, we're seeing people rushing to airports to try to get out of the country, and we're seeing people jumping into their cars to try and drive over the borders.
More than 1,000 people have been arrested at protests across Russia. Moments after Putin's speech, citizens were already receiving orders to enlist, according to a human rights lawyer. In St. Petersburg, recruitment officers handed packs of conscription papers to homeowners associations. Here and in 37 other Russian cities, demonstrations erupted. Protesters chanting no to war as police carried out arrests.
Protests against the war and the mass mobilization are being seen across Russia. And it's reported that over 1,300 people so far have been arrested. And a lot of the people who've been arrested are women who are concerned about their husbands and sons being drafted and forced to go to Ukraine to fight. Now, these protests against the war are the first that we've seen in Russia since the early stages of the invasion. And the authorities clamped down very heavily on those initial protests. People were arrested and put into jail. And that action put an end to all of the protests. But the fact that protests have now broken out again show how unhappy the people of Russia are about the current news. And it's been reported that some of the men who've been arrested have been conscripted and will be sent immediately to Ukraine. So this is sending a very strong arm message to the people. If you come out and protest, we will arrest you. And once we arrest you, we may decide to send you to Ukraine. So you would need to be a very brave individual right now to be going out onto the streets of Moscow and protesting either against the war or the mobilization, because you're running a high risk of firstly being arrested and secondly being sent over to fight. And in order to discourage people from making these protests, the lawmakers in Russia have announced that anybody arrested will be given a 15-year jail sentence. Now that is quite a severe jail sentence. In the Western world, you only receive 15 years for doing something really quite serious. But in Russia, if you want to come out and express your views against what's happening in Ukraine, then you could end up either spending the next 15 years of your life in prison or being handed a machine gun and sent over to Ukraine to fight the fight. As soon as the news of the mobilization was released, there was a huge increase in demand for one-way flights out of Russia. Now, this is a really interesting situation because if you've been following the channel, you'll be perfectly aware that as a result of the sanctions, all of the European Union has closed its airspace to Russian aircraft. So no Russian aircraft can fly directly to most European destinations. And following on from that, the majority of the EU has also banned Russians from entering the country. So they're no longer issuing visas to Russians who are looking to leave. So it's actually quite difficult for Russians to be able to fly directly into Europe. They can actually fly to Europe, but not directly. They'd need to change somewhere like Istanbul and then take a flight from Turkey to wherever they wanted to go. But in order to do that, they would need to have a visa that allowed them access into that country. So flying directly to Europe out of Russia isn't really an option right now. But there are a number of other destinations that Russian and other international airlines are flying to out of Russia.
More Russians are looking to get out of the country altogether. Websites show a sharp demand for flights out of Moscow and St. Petersburg. The price of a one-way ticket from Moscow to Istanbul has shot up from $350 to more than $2,700 since Putin's mobilization order.
One thing that I think is really interesting here is that the initial increase in demand for flights came when the first mobilization news came through. So this was the 300,000 reservists. So a lot of the individuals who were making that decision that they wanted to leave the country were potentially on that list. But as soon as the news that President Putin's decree allowed up to 1 million men to be recruited, and that these won't be contained just to the reservists from the army, this could be any man on the street, this news has caused mass panic within Russia, and there is now increasing demand for flights and to leave the country. Now, this situation is obviously really embarrassing for President Putin because he's looking for the Russian people to get behind him, to support the efforts in Ukraine. But what we can see is that the general population of Russia have no interest in joining the army and going to fight a fight that they don't believe in. The other option that Russians have in terms of leaving the country is to get into their cars and drive across the borders. This map shows the land borders that it would potentially be possible to drive across. Now, the biggest single land border is with Ukraine, and I would doubt that many Russians right now will want to get into their car and drive across the border into Ukraine. The next biggest border is Belarus, and Belarus is a strong ally of Russia. It's actually been sanctioned because it enabled some of the tanks and other forces to use the Belarus-Ukraine border to enter Ukraine at the start of the war. So fleeing Russia for Belarus doesn't actually solve the problem because there's still a potential that you could be picked up by the military police. The other three accessible borders in Europe are Latvia, Estonia, and Finland. Now, if you follow the channel, you'll know that Estonia and Latvia recently closed their border to all Russian citizens. They're no longer issuing any more visas. So that's not a viable option for Russians. So the only option that's available right now of entering Europe is to cross the border into Finland.
At the land border with Finland, a long queue of Russian cars has lined up to cross. Finland is now Russia's last remaining EU neighbor that still allows the entry of Russian Schengen visa holders. But while Finland prepares to limit or ban the entry of Russian tourists, and as flights out of Moscow become unavailable, it may be now or never for those wanting to avoid the draft.
So there has been an enormous surge in the number of cars trying to leave Russia and enter Finland. It was reported that the Finnish authorities were already considering following in the footsteps of the other European countries and closing the border with Russia. And it's possible that we could see the Finnish border closing to Russians at some point in the very near future. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, there's a number of points that I think are worth discussing here. Firstly, from President Putin's perspective, it's become clear that the mobilization is not just calling up the reservists, not just bringing another 300,000 men to fight in Ukraine. There is a possibility that he can call up 1 million citizens. Now, that is a lot of people. And that really shows the commitment that he's giving to this war. So we've talked about it before. It's very unlikely that President Putin will call a retreat or a halt or try to withdraw all of the troops from Ukraine. He sees this as a fight that he has to win. So it's black or white, it's binary for him. He either wins or he loses. And for President Putin, losing is not an option. So throwing more and more people into Ukraine to keep the war going is his preferred option rather than losing face or having to admit defeat. So in terms of the takeaways from this video, I think that's probably the biggest one. This could be the worst recession that we've seen since the Great Depression if this war does go on for more than 12 months. And from what President Putin is doing right now, it looks like he's got every intention of keeping going for as long as physically possible. Now, in terms of the response that we've seen in Russia, this is really surprising because we're seeing panic on the streets. People do not want to be involved in this war. Russia is a modern society. It's the 11th biggest economy in the world. It's a developed country. People are living very nice lifestyles. They've got families, they've got jobs, they've got houses, they've got their routines. The last thing that any of these people want is to be told to put a uniform on, be handed an AK-47 and told to go and fight against Ukrainians in Ukraine. That is absolutely a non-starter for the vast majority of Russians. And what we're seeing is the reaction to that on the streets. So we're seeing protests, and I have to say the people who are protesting are extremely brave because they are very likely to get arrested. And then once you're into that penal system, God only knows what will happen to you. And the people who aren't protesting are voting with their feet. They're trying to get out of the country before somebody comes knocking on their door and says, it's time for you to get your uniform on and head off to Ukraine. Now, if you put yourself into those people's shoes for a moment, this is absolute madness. We don't expect in the 21st century to be called up to go and fight a fight. Wars are a thing of the past for most countries. We don't expect modern society to get involved in actual physical combat. Soldiers on the ground shooting at each other, riding around in tanks. But unfortunately, that's what Russia have done. They sent their forces into Ukraine. They thought that this war was going to be over relatively quickly. I think they were expecting a similar thing to happen to what happened in Crimea in 2014, where they sent the forces in, they took over relatively easily and without too much pain. They had a vote and the area was then declared to be part of Russia. But unfortunately, things have not gone that way at all. And this has been an absolutely disastrous campaign. But rather than cutting his losses, President Putin looks like he wants to double down, bring more men to the front line and keep going. So my gut feel here is that this war could go on for a really long period of time. And this could easily be the biggest single financial disaster that we see in all of our lives. The global financial crisis back in 2008 was serious, but this current situation could actually be much worse than that. So what do I think is going to happen over the next 3 to 6 months? Well, we're heading into the winter period, so this is going to be a very challenging period for Russia to keep the war going. And I think that's why President Putin is really bolstering his reserves here. He wants to make sure he's got enough people and equipment to keep going through the winter period to get to the spring of 2023 and then carry on this fight for as long as possible. And I mentioned it before, but when Russia invaded Chechnya in 2000, that war actually lasted for 9 years, which is obviously an insane amount of time to keep a war going. So Russia does have a track record here. And I think President Putin will keep this war going, probably through the winter period and probably into 2023. So I'm expecting that the downturn that we're seeing in the global economy right now is going to get worse over the next 3 to 6 months. We've already seen governments around the world increasing interest rates really rapidly. So the Fed added 75 basis points this week, the Bank of England 50 basis points. We've got a whole host of countries that are adding 50 or 75 basis points to their current interest rates. And from a proportional point of view, that is a massive change because a lot of us have got used to borrowing at 0 or 0.1% as a base rate. So seeing a 75 basis point increase is obviously a huge turn. And that's on top of the previous increases. So all around the world now, we're starting to see rates coming up to 2%, 3%. It's likely that over the next 6 months or so, those rates will carry on rising. We could see 5%, it could be 6%, 7%. Who knows where the top will be? So the combination of those higher interest rates, which will cause pain for anybody that has debt, and the increased cost of commodities that we're seeing as a result of the Ukraine crisis is going to have a really damaging impact on growth and cost of living. So it's very likely that we will see a deep recession coming in 2023. It's likely that the cost of living will stay high for everybody, and it's likely that wages and income will be squeezed. So we're going into a really difficult period for everybody. And unfortunately, the main driver of what's happening is the war in Ukraine. So that's why I'm posting videos about the war. There's been some comments recently about stick to the financials, stop talking about the war, but the war is at the heart of the problem with the financials. So you can't ignore what's actually happening on the ground in Ukraine and just talk about the financials, because the two are interlinked. And as you'll know, if you follow the channel, I love to talk about how everything these days is interlinked. If something happens somewhere in the world, it will have a ripple effect and it will cause issues for other people. And unfortunately, the Ukraine war is one of the biggest things happening right now, and it's having the biggest single impact of anything in the financial world right now. So hopefully you've enjoyed today's video. You've found it interesting, educational, and slightly thought-provoking. If you've liked what I've said, please give me a thumbs up, and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already.